Facebook Prasa.
That's our intro.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Facebook Prasa. This is the show where two Prasa talk about movie news, reviews, shorts, and some cut in between. My name is Ross.
I'm Jody.
The show has segments, news and shorts. Shorts being trailers. I don't know how long we'll have to tell you that, but just like it.
We'll do it every time.
Oh, fuck. Okay. Shorts being trailers where we talk about the news of that current week and shorts that might have come out. Then we have the Brasa Review where we review a movie that we've seen in the past week. Yeah, let's jump right into it.
Our news and shorts.
The trailer that came out this week, the main one, I think the one we both really care about.
One of interest.
Yeah, is Dune. Or June?
June.
How do people say it?
I believe it's Dune with a hard D.
Everything's better with a hard D. Yeah, the movie stars Timothy Chalamet, Zendaya, one word, Oscar Isaac, and there's so many other cast members.
Way too many to actually just put into this thing. That would be a discussion of about 15 minutes.
Yeah, the I don't even know what the actors' budget, the budget for the actors are.
Scary. I mean, but having, like, jumping right into the effects of this movie, I think that's the least of their concerns.
But you're talking about, look, it's directed by Denis Villeneuve, and that guy, just visually, is always on point.
He is. For those, for fans of the podcast, Denis has also directed Arrival, what's it, Arrive? Arrival?
Arrival, yeah.
Prisoners, like, which other movies are they? He's a fantastic
Blade Runner 2049. Which looks amazing.
Yeah, I think both Arrival and Blade Runner are visually fantastic movies and probably a precursor to what you're seeing in Dune.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just quickly give our listeners a brief synopsis. Mm. So Dune is a mythic and emotionally charged hero's journey and tells the story of Paul Atreides, a brilliant and gifted young man born into a great destiny beyond his understanding. He must travel to the most dangerous planet in the universe to ensure that the future of his family and his people are safe. And this is also based on a novel by Frank Herbert and is the first of two planned movies.
Yeah.
So very sci-fi, very fantasy in terms of the setup of the movie, and you can really see it in this trailer. What were your thoughts?
I mean, look, this Dune has a huge following. You have fans of the book, you have fans of the first movie, you have fans of the documentary about the making of the movie. So I'm not one of those fans necessarily. Like, I'm not like heavy into the lore and so on.
I can't really remember the first movie. I think it's been so long since I've seen it that I can't really remember. And I haven't read the book. I'm actually planning on doing that, even though I tend to have a little bit of like wariness when it comes to reading and then watching the movie.
I think going forward, you're going to be the novel guy and I'll be the comic book guy.
Yeah.
Because, you can knock out a novel way faster than I can. So, if there's a book that needs to be read, but, you know, 100%. I'll read comics all day.
Sounds good.
But, yeah, excited for this one?
Visually, it's stunning. The music of this trailer, the visuals of this trailer, the amazing cast, the director. I think for that reason alone, I'm already excited to see it without knowing any of the, not remembering any of the real backstory behind what I'm going to see. If I just looked at the storyline from the trailer, I might not be as excited because I don't give away a lot.
No. Which I'm grateful for, actually.
Yeah. I mean, people really oversell things in trailers nowadays. I think you spoke last week about Ava when they gave away the whole plotline.
Mm.
So I'm actually looking forward to seeing this movie just because of all the people involved with it.
Yeah, I mean, look, Hans Zimmer couldn't do Christopher Nolan's movie because he was working on the music for this movie. And you can hear, even in that trailer, you're like, damn, Hans Zimmer be flexing.
But speaking about that, don't you think that, and this is maybe just something that's become so common nowadays, but that there's that sound that he uses that I think has come on since Superman, since Man of Steel, that it's like
he uses it. It's like he uses it to drive the music forward. Like it pushes everything in. It's like it's kind of like his signature, also.
Mm.
But he's a legend for a reason, man.
He is.
So yeah, I'm kind of excited, but mm-hmm. more on the fact of like I want to see spectacle, I want to see some sci-fi action, and Denis Villeneuve, he's the guy to do it, man. He does suffer from the he makes great movies that no one sees.
Yeah, I which is unfortunate. Right? I mean, some of his other movies are fantastic films, but the easiest to watch, but really, really good movies.
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate, but this is one that I'm really excited.
Yeah, I'm glad he's still getting money to make movies. Batman delayed, but shooting again due to COVID.
It's been so long since we recorded last that we went from hearing about the delay of the movie due to Robert Pattinson being diagnosed with COVID-19 to the film starting up again. Yeah. So it would have been bad news if we recorded this last week, but at least they...
Yeah, I mean, you just have to wait like 10 days, I guess. And it was him. At first, they weren't sure. Mm-hmm. They said, like, oh, someone, it's somebody. But then it turned out to be him. That guy just, I don't know. Just be more responsible.
Yeah, guys. I feel like when you see a lot of, like, sports events and things being filmed now, they take so many security measures to ensure that it doesn't get out. And, well, to still somehow sneak through. It's like, shit, this is hectic.
Yeah. Well, but at least tiny.
They're back on, so.
They're back on, they're filming. I don't know what this does to the release date, but I think 10 days or however many days is not that much of a transfer.
Yeah, should be easy to make up in post.
Yeah. We'll fix it in post. good news. Next one, I mean, I like this little bit of news. Fast 9. Is it Fast 9 or Furious 9? Do they interchange between Fast and the word Furious? Or?
I'm not sure. Either way, it's going to be fine.
Fast 9 going to space. Uh-huh. This was leaked by Michelle Rodriguez in an interview. But kind of also not, because if you have context of how the interview went down, the interviewer kind of brought it up and she was like, more along the lines of, oh, shit, you guys, how do you guys know about this? How did you find out about this?
And to be honest, I think it's really just been, people have forecast that the logical next step for them is space because they've done every weird thing you can think of. They've used submarines, they've used tanks, they've used the longest runway ever constructed.
Yeah, ever.
There was nowhere else for them to go.
Yeah, there was. And I mean, I feel like this started as a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were like, yeah,
you
but
know
maybe.
What? That's a good idea.
Yeah, I know Seth Rogen had a tweet where he was like, he spoke of a moment where they were standing with like the producers of the movie and they were like, as a joke, his writing partner, Evan Goldberg, said, oh, you guys should go to space. Mm-hmm. And the guy like looked at him like dead serious, like, not yet.
And that was with what, like part two or three?
Yeah, that was when it started getting wild.
Yeah.
But anyway, fuck, Jody, I'm excited about Fast and Furious. Say what you want about it, they're ridiculous, but they are a lot of fun, and I enjoy them as popcorn movies.
And they make fantastic drinking games. Each time they say familia or family, you take a shot.
Yeah. Well, no one can hear you say family in space. So.
Speaking of space, have you heard about Tom Cruise?
Oh, yes, but that does not surprise me at all. So tell us about what's happening with Tom
Cruise. We're talking about Fast 9 going to space. Tom Cruise is actually going to film a movie in space. So they're not going to simulate space. He is going to space to shoot a film, which is the most Tom Cruise thing to ever do.
Yeah, I mean, look, when you have the power of Scientology, anything is possible.
If Al Ron is behind you, what can stop you?
This is also a logical step for Tom Cruise. I don't see, this doesn't surprise me at all. He pushes himself, as you know, like he's become the guy that does all his own stunts, no matter how ridiculous. And Tom Cruise in space, I'm here for it, man.
Is it with Christopher McQuarrie? Is he assigned to that?
I'm not entirely sure, but they make a good team.
They do. I mean, the Mission Impossible movies have just gotten better and better since Christopher McQuarrie came on.
Yeah, age like wine, bro.
So whatever happens there, I will definitely be seeing that movie. Really hope Tom doesn't die. I mean, remember he broke his foot on on the last Mission Impossible. If things go wrong in space, they are going to go crazy.
He's going to die doing a stunt, I think, no matter what.
Yeah.
I just don't want it to be this time.
True.
I mean, I don't want it to be any time, but I mean, yeah. Like,
we have faith at the moment.
Yeah, we have faith in Elrond Hubbard. The Thetans, I'm not sure how it would work, but yeah. This one came out recently. This was like a day or two ago. Tom Hardy potentially being the new Bond. Yeah, very unofficial. Mostly fan sites pushing him to be cast. And they want Nolan to be the director.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on this?
Look, it is very unofficial, but I've read on a couple of sites that Tom himself has not put these rumors down. Mm. In fact, his quotes have been to confirm that if you talk about it, you won't get the role. Mm. So I'm not going to talk about it. Mm. So it seems like he's very interested. And I mean, on the face of it, it's not something if you look at how varied his movies are at the moment that he's released, this is so franchisey that I don't necessarily see him wanting to do it. But the fact that the man himself is showing interest, that might be something that brings real new blood and excitement to the Bond franchise if they get it right.
Yeah.
I'd be very down for that.
Look, he was rumored to be one of the runners-up when they were choosing Daniel Craig, the potato.
Mm.
So it makes sense for them wanting to choose. But I would like him to be Wolverine.
Ah, that would be amazing. Look, I don't know if the direction for the new Wolverine is going to be younger or older.
Yeah, they'll probably go younger to get longer.
Tom Hardy as Wolverine would be.
Yes, he's got the bold, he's got the intensity. But anyway, we're talking about Bond.
We digress.
Yeah, that's just my dream casting at this point. He would make a great Bond. He's played roles where he's suave, he's sexy, he can pull off all that.
His character shit. In Inception was probably
100%.
Like a very good indication of how well he's doing.
Always comes back to Nolan, doesn't it?
Always. Who, as you mentioned, the fan sites have also conveniently positioned as the potential director for this movie if Tom gets it. So all like they're getting all their ducks in a row. Tom will sign on, Tom will convince Christopher Nolan to come on board. Christopher and his brother will write the script, and here we go. Bond is saved.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's not my first choice. I would have liked someone else, but I'm happy with
him. Do you
know
who, though? I've got an idea of who.
Look, Henry Cavill was also in the running at one point.
True, and he's done things that are similar, Man of Uncle.
He would have to buff down. I don't know if he can buff down, but he would have to buff down.
You know what I like?
Who?
Tom Hiddleston.
Okay.
Loki.
Okay.
That man in a tuxedo.
Okay.
He's got the bulk because he's not as bulky as what
he was in a series called The Hotel Manager or The Night Manager.
With Hugh Laurie.
Yeah.
I can
pull it off.
He's got the suaveness.
Yeah. He's not your traditional like handsome guy, but that's fine. I mean, we had a potato for the last few years.
Exactly.
So.
And richness adds like a large degree of sexiness to any man.
That's true. I'm not ugly, I'm poor.
So I'd actually, he's one of my friend characters. I think the time for someone like Idris, which had a lot of traction before Daniel Craig confirmed that he's going to do Bond 25. I know Idris had a lot of traction at that point, but I think he's getting a bit on in years now for the new Bond. I don't even know how old Tom Hiddleston is, but I think he'd be.
Yeah, Idris Elba's older than him, I think. But I mean, they could do maybe some parallel universe Bond or something with him. But we'll see. It's not going to happen now. This is like future casting. It's going to be a few years before they make this movie.
Exactly.
But,
they still need to get the current one out.
Yeah, they keep pushing that back, but anyway.
Sec, it's time for a review.
This time, we weren't forced to watch a movie on a streaming platform. We weren't forced to watch some old movie that we haven't seen.
We were actually in the cinema.
Actually in the cinema. I mean, whether you think it was super dangerous, it doesn't matter because we did it.
For the fans, guys. For the fans.
Yeah, we both actually went to go and see Tenet. Tenet in France, directed by Christopher Nolan, starring John David Washington, Denzel Washington's son. Very good, I think. It sounds a lot like him as well.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Debicki, Robert Pattinson, and Kenneth Branagh, directed by Christopher Nolan. As I said, little synopses.
Very little.
Well, as you usually get with a Christopher Nolan movie. A secret agent embarks on a dangerous time-bending mission to prevent the start of World War III. How do you think that description works for
this? I think it's succinct. I think it's very succinct. Look, this is one of those movies that I think the less you know going in is probably also...
That's every Christopher Nolan movie.
Exactly. I think that it's very hard to explain. And yeah. What I'd actually like to touch on first, maybe because a lot of the listeners haven't gone to the cinema...
Yeah, look, I mean, we're probably going to do a bit of no spoilers in the beginning, but yes. It is really hard to talk about this movie, without spoilers. Yeah. So we'll try our best.
There'll be mild spoilers in the beginning. I don't think I'll ever go into major spoiler territory, but... Look, I'm a very big Christopher Nolan fan, as we've established while we've been doing these recordings. So, for me, even things like Interstellar, which have gotten less acclaim than some of his other movies, I enjoy watching them. I'll be very honest, and so I think this one's going to be the hardest one to convince other people about.
Okay.
When it comes to
I can see that, yeah.
I am glad I saw it at the cinema, though. This is a movie that is, and true to Christopher Nolan form, the prestige and the spectacle that comes with being at the cinema is a big part of the experience for him. And I think this is a movie best viewed at the cinema, just because, you know, it's big and it's loud and it's cinematic.
It's so loud. Look, let's try our best to talk a little bit about the story. You have John David Washington's character, who's only known as the protagonist. Yeah, he doesn't have a name at all. And he is some sort of spy, from what I can tell. He's
working with the CIA, which established quite early in the movie.
And he stumbles across something that is quite peculiar. So he's kind of in this situation, and he witnesses a bullet being shot in reverse.
Yes. Going back into a gun.
Yeah, going back into a gun. And that sort of, sets everything off.
Mm-hmm.
And he discovers the world of Tenet.
And very soon after being shown this world, he is told that he is required to assist people who are part of an organization which is unnamed, I think, for the longest part in the movie, if it's ever named. He needs to help them to prevent World War III and possibly the end of the world as we know it. So they need to prevent something that's worse than nuclear
holocaust. End of the world, like proper end of the whole world.
Yeah.
What we can divulge, which you can see in the trailers, is that certain objects can move backwards in time.
Mm-hmm.
So they call it inversion in the movie,
mm-hmm.
and they are able to send not only objects. I don't want to spoil things.
So the bullet analogy is a good one, because that's also how they introduce the protagonist to this concept, where
they had to start quite small and then like unpack things as it goes.
Yeah. It's not that it's only a bullet being fired by a gun, but also him catching a bullet with the gun.
Yeah.
As well. So that same bullet comes back into the gun. And it's not time travel, but as you mentioned, time inversion, which I think even with a few degrees behind our names, we might not be able
to. No, I mean, he's so obsessed with time, this guy also.
He really is. A lot of us loved Inception, right?
Yeah.
And Inception had a really dense idea that was unpacked throughout the first half of that movie.
Yeah.
And then went into, like, the actual mission, where they already explained to us how the concept works and how they're implementing that concept to carry out their mission.
Yeah.
I think that in this film, Christopher Nolan just didn't care. He gave us like what ended up being like three or four morsels of information. It's like, here's some breadcrumbs. Now we are fully into
the
plot.
Look, I mean, it's kind of like, okay, he trusts his audience to be able to, follow along and figure things out. But at the same time, like, the question could be, like, is the director doing his job properly if you have to watch the movie more than once in order to get everything?
Which I think is a necessity. After watching it and reading up on some of the theories and explanations, even if I had not read up on anything, I feel like once you see the ending, you actually want to watch it again.
Yeah.
Just because you'll have some type of better
I'm going to have to watch idea. It again.
Yeah.
I don't know when that'll be, because I don't know if I'm going to go back to the cinema.
I don't think I will.
I just want to touch on something, some positives, which for me, which was the performances were good.
Mm-hmm.
John David Washington. Robert Pattinson keeps doing good shit, man.
He really does. Look, my other favorite is Elizabeth Debicki.
Yeah.
I love her from Widows. Yeah, I think that she stole the show in that movie.
She was kind of the emotional core of the
movie. And this is part of my issue with this film, is that Christopher Nolan has been accused of not having like strong enough emotional themes in his movies, but in actuality, like, his biggest films have always had an emotional thread.
Mm.
Like, The Prestige as the brothers' relationship and the relationship with their loved ones and their child. Inception has got Leonardo DiCaprio wanting to get back to his children.
Mm.
Interstellar has a similar theme of Matthew McConaughey wanting to get back to his daughter. So he's always had like a through line of emotion in his movies, even though people feel he hasn't really highlighted that. In this film, I feel like the emotional connection with Elizabeth Debicki's character is actually quite tenuous and not really something that drives the plot.
Yeah.
It's her driver maybe to like,
get it's more of a subplot.
But it's not like a real strong through line. And I actually think, and this is kind of like a bit of a spoiler, but the real emotional thread is only established at the ending of the movie when we get the twist.
And the problem with that is that I didn't feel that punch.
Yeah.
I didn't get that same oomskat dooms from Inception.
But, yes.
You know, when you get that payoff in the end and you feel something.
Exactly.
So I didn't feel anything
at
the end when that reveal is made.
Yeah. I love the cast too. I thought Kenneth Branagh was
chewing scenery.
He was having a lot.
I mean, on paper, it would be like, the difference would be too great and it would come across as like too much and sort of pull me out of it. But I feel like it kind of fit. He was doing his thing and it didn't pull me out of the movie at all. I mean, I believe that you have this ridiculous Russian guy.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way he speaks and the anger and all those things. And I was fine with it.
I can't say that I think his motivations were strong enough to actually
carry it was a bit weak.
Be that as it may, I think he was serviceable in that role.
Yeah.
The one thing I did miss, though, and we spoke about Hans Zimmer not being able to be part of this movie due to his Dune commitments. I really think that the sound of this movie, compared with previous films, I feel like the sound was more there just to kind of complete scenes as opposed to being really part of the film. It felt that way to me.
Yeah, but he's been doing this since Batman, since The Dark Knight, where the mixing and stuff is a bit odd, that's the
obvious.
And I love this composer who worked on this movie, Ludwig Göransson, worked on Black Panther, but I don't know what is going on. Like, are you trying to, you know, increase the spectacle and make things more dramatic and so on, but then I still need to hear dialogue. There were a few instances where I could, you can't miss anything. And there was a few instances where I was listening because I had heard from other people that the sound was, and I was actively listening out for the dialogue, and there were moments where I just missed it.
Did you see it at IMAX or?
I went to IMAX this
one. So this is what I think is happening. I had the same issue with Dunkirk. In IMAX, like, sound was exponentially louder than in the cinema. And the way that his movies are mixed, somehow the sound effects always take precedence over dialogue.
Yeah.
So in IMAX, that problem is getting exacerbated. So when I watch Dunkirk, I don't even think I know what the dialogue was because I was so overwhelmed with all of the other sound. I watched this in the normal cinema, so my issue wasn't as bad. And I think I'd recommend, in fact, that you just avoid IMAX movies, even though Christopher Nolan does.
Yeah, but that's the thing.
But the sound is terrible.
A Christopher Nolan movie you're supposed to see in IMAX.
Because he uses the actual camera.
Exactly. He shoots it for that very purpose. And he wants people to see it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But then, just let me hear what your characters are saying.
The sound thing has come up in a few of his movies before. I remember the first mixes of Bane for Dark Knight Rises were like... And then they had to like dub it afterwards because people were like, dude, that's not good. So I think this is one of his failings as a director, is that he...
Failings is such a strong word for someone who has such good movies.
I know, but look, it's my opinion. I think it's something that he really needs to work on. he enjoys it, but he also knows what he's intending.
Yeah.
And we don't always know that because we can't hear.
Yeah. Look, okay. I'll give another positive. Special effects.
Wow.
This guy is so good at blending practical and CGI that everything looks real.
Yes.
You have, there was one moment where there's a fist fight,
mm-hmm.
and you literally have one character moving forward in time and mm-hmm. another character moving backward in time.
Mm-hmm.
And that is done flawlessly.
Did you hear about how he shot those scenes?
No, I didn't. I didn't hear.
So apparently what he did was to shoot them both ways.
Yeah.
So you shot the scene first with everything happening, like with this guy going forwards and the other guy backwards, and
yeah.
they did the inverse, and then he cut them together.
Oh my goodness.
Which, I mean, it takes an insane amount of work, but the practical, like, you can see it's real.
No, the execution was flawless.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. There's another scene where a building is being destroyed and built sort of at the
mm-hmm.
same time.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was spectacular. I mean, they timed it so that it moves in reverse and it sort of builds up again. But
mm-hmm.
then from the other side, it's sort of being destroyed. And
yes.
I can't even describe it effectively. It's just
amazing. It's jaw-dropping to actually watch these things unfold.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way to probably watch this movie. Don't have any real anxiety about being able to understand or follow exactly what's going on, but just enjoy and be wowed by the spectacle of what this movie is. Because things like the special effects, things like the characters, because I think we both really love the what could be considered the three main characters or protagonists in this movie. I think they all do like fantastically well.
They really do. Isn't that emotional connection that I want from my protagonist?
And you miss it.
Yeah, that's not one of my favorite. Can we go into spoiler territory?
I think let's go into more spoiler territory at this point.
The reveal at the end was cool. Like I said, it was dope. So Robert Pattinson knew John David Washington from the future. They kind of meet and they're strangers.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always, that's the amazing work of Robert Pattinson, because
mm-hmm.
there's a twinkle in his eye.
Yeah.
That you don't know what it is throughout the film. And then once you realize, oh, they're actually friends from the future.
Yes.
And he knows that they are going to be great friends.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole operation was John David Washington's idea in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Then you realize, oh, that's twinkle.
Yeah. I mean, that reveal. Oh, speaking of other characters in this movie, did you know that was Aaron Taylor Johnson?
Yes, I did when I saw him.
Why does he look familiar?
Yeah.
He was also very good.
He was quite good.
Yeah.
So with his reveal that the entire thing, like this entire mission, and essentially...
What was it? What kind of...
The principle. You guys will figure it out.
Yeah, because they reference it throughout the movie, and then it's almost like, oh, the over encompassing giant plan is one giant temporal pincer movie.
Yes. So that was a cool reveal, but and I told you this just before we started. The more I think about it, the more I'm like, I don't actually know if everything makes sense to me.
Because I'm like, how do those things. I can't even start thinking and asking questions about it because I'm like, okay. My wife isn't a huge fan of Christopher Nolan since Interstellar. She's a big fan of... that Interstellar really fucked her over. She's a huge fan of Inception, but Interstellar was like her line. And then when the movie started, I was like, okay. She will enjoy this. And then about midway, I was like, no, she won't enjoy this.
I have the exact same thing with Jenna where I was like, I'm glad I went to watch this.
Yeah.
She would not have had fun in this movie.
She literally asked me to explain what the plot is, and I found myself just it was a bit too complicated.
You just can't.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
And this is like I've read up on various explanations as to like where time was being inverted and who was where and what was happening. I'm still kind of lost.
Yeah.
But I am, like we said earlier, for that very reason, I'm interested in watching it again, understanding what the ending is, what the idea behind things are, and seeing if I pick up on more.
Yeah, one of the best things is sort of as you go throughout the movie and there's different action set pieces and heists and whatever, it kind of does a U-turn and you see it from the other, the inversion of time, and you see the same scenes, but from a different perspective. I thought that was amazing.
Yeah, one of the cool examples of that is from the trailer where we see that car untumbling the highway scene, which in and of itself kind of reminded me of The Matrix. Highway scene. But, you know, the car untumbles and we see this action scene play out and then the movie happens and we see how the car actually got into the tunnel.
Yeah.
Why it was there in the first place. So, You know, it's again, it's amazing to watch these things, but you're not going to really understand them. John David Washington, apart from Black Klansman, which was a very good movie. But, you know, Spike, these things are invariably like lower budget and not as hyped when they released and not as blockbuster when they released. This, I think, is his gateway into, you know, big film territory.
Definitely. I mean,
I think he pulls it off. I think he's got the charisma.
He's carving a nice face for himself. Yeah. I mean, you coming into Denzel Washington's shadow, regardless of whether people are going to compare you no matter what. And I feel like he is really making a nice little career for himself. I say little, but I mean...
I've liked him since Ballers, because that's where I first saw him.
I didn't finish Ballers.
I saw the first couple of seasons. Yeah. He was Ricky, whatever.
You know, one of the players.
Wide receiver.
I remember!
He was pretty cool in that role. I didn't know he was Denzel's son of that
movie. Yeah, me neither.
So I thought he was cool in that, and then he was cast in Black Klansman, and I was like, cool. And then the news gets out, you know, this is Denzel's son. And by that point, he'd already kind of, you know, established himself to me as a decent actor.
Yeah.
So I hope he doesn't have too much of that shadow. But like you said, if the more that news gets out, the harder.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be one on his resume. He just keeps putting up good performances. And I think, I think we're going to see some good things from him.
Mm-hmm.
You
want to move on to ratings?
Yeah, let's do your rating system.
And this is by no means because I want to say this is a good Christopher Nolan movie.
Yes, you do.
This week's rating system is, yes, is this the best movie you've seen at the cinema during COVID?
What fucking answer am I supposed to give to that? Because this is the only movie I've seen at the cinema during COVID, but... You know, sticking to the rules, yes, this is the best movie I've seen at the cinema during COVID.
Funnily enough, same for me. But if we think about the system we used last week, would you refer this to, like...
Again, certain people. Look, I didn't go alone. I went with Nolan fans. Mm. Abby's brother, he's a big Nolan fan, watches every Nolan movie. He went with me. And I've yet to talk to him about him because we like kind of left immediately.
You're just in shock.
Yeah, so I've yet to talk to him about it. I think things at the summer, and I kind of think he might feel the same way. So I would recommend it to certain, I would recommend it to Nolan fans.
Mm.
But if you're just looking for a big action epic, I don't think this is for you.
Yeah, and that's to the movie's detriment. Unfortunately, I think that Christopher Nolan's assumption that the audience will just kind of go along with things and be happy at the end is his downfall in this case. And for that same reason, I won't be recommending this to many people. But if you do enjoy Christopher Nolan movies, I think you'll enjoy this one too.
Yeah.
Just not as much as the others. We have got an Instagram page, guys. Please go and check out Bioscope Brass on Instagram. Or alternatively, you can send us an email if you are a little bit older and fatty and daddier than wanting to be on social media. Meet us up at bioscopegrasser@gmail.com. So find us on Instagram or hit us up on email.
Yeah, and any movie that you want us to review, you can also suggest there. That's it.
That's it for this week.
That's it for this week. Stay safe. Jody, stay safe.
You stay safe, bro.
That's how we have to greet people now.
No more cinema for both of us.
I had to choose wisely, and I don't regret it.
I'm glad I made the choice.
I know. I
needed to be at the cinema, so now I can go back into my shop.
That's right. Netflix it is. Bye, everyone.
Peace.